Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jan Davids de Heem was a painter of the 17th century in Antwerp and Utrecht, Netherlands. He is lauded as one of the finest painters of his era, who, to his own benefit, was recognized as a fine painter while he was still alive. And that's a trick for an artist. His work was in high demand, such that he couldn't keep up with the demand. And for his portrait of Prince William III, he was paid a sum that was thought to have been the largest ever paid for a painting in his day. He had a good thing going. He was sought after as an artist in the Dutch Republic at a time when it was the wealthiest region of Europe. And the subject matter of much of his painting seems to match the circumstances of his life. If you look at the cover of your bulletin today, you'll see one of his famous works, Festoon of Fruit and Flowers, a famous example of his work. Whatever a festoon is, I don't know that I've ever come upon a festoon, but I'm sure it comes from the root word feast, and that is certainly what is seen there. What must be at least 10 pounds of fruit and flowers hanging, pomegranates so ripe that they're bursting open and dripping down with red juicy seeds, figs so ripe they're bursting open, grapes and apples and peaches and roses, butterflies and bees gathering around to feast themselves on a sugary bounty. In a wealthy season, the artist is overwhelmed with plenty and reflects that reality with scenes of fruitfulness. The fruitfulness of nature is an important piece of the message that God speaks to us through his creation. It's one of the many ways he reveals himself to us. And it's a good thing, because human beings can argue with nearly any idea, with nearly any concept or proposition, but nature is hard to argue with. A hurricane is a hurricane. A waterfall is a waterfall. A festoon of fruit and flowers is a festoon of fruit and flowers. There's no arguing with it. A few years ago, I was invited out to a parishioner's family property to pick peaches off of a tree, just one tree, that held probably hundreds of pounds of plump, juicy, pinkish yellow fruits. And there was no question about whether that was a good peach tree. It was buzzing with bees who were so interested in the nectar that they took no notice of us picking the fruits. There was no question that it was a good peach tree. Even the bees knew how to recognize a good tree. They recognized it by its fruit. When Jesus turns to speak to people in his Sermon on the Mount, he points at times to the lilies of the field and says, "The kingdom of God is like this." He points to the birds of the air and says, "The kingdom of God is like that." And in the passage we've read today, he turns our attention to fruitful branches of trees and says something like, "The kingdom of God is right here." In Genesis chapter 1, on the third day of creation, the scriptures read, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding tree after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." As if to draw back the curtain on a message that had been communicated to us by God through nature since the beginning, Jesus now says to his people, "You will know them by their fruits." As if to say, it's easy to understand. People bear fruit after their kind. Do we gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Figs do not grow from thistle bushes, because there's a difference, not in degree or in soil or in sunlight. There's a difference in kind. Fig trees bear figs. Grapevines bear grapes. Trees bear fruit after their kind. And then in applying this rule to people, Jesus speaks in what seems to be a final and serious and somewhat terrifying manner. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. A simple parable, understandable. Trees bear fruit after their kind. People bear fruit after their kind. Very tidy, very logical, very settled. Jesus' very tidy, logical, and settled teaching leads us to a very untidy and almost illogical and unsettling question as we look upon ourselves and ask, what kind am I? What is the fruit that I produce? Is it good? For some, looking back on their life, there's a great relief that comes along with an honest answer to that question. And for others, there's fear and trembling just looking back upon the hours leading to church this morning. From the time you woke up into the present moment, you might question the nature of the fruit. When Jesus says that every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, we would like to universally agree that Jesus is always speaking about someone else. But when Jesus talks like that, we can't help but begin to wonder if the message isn't still for us. In this Sermon on the Mount, from which this passage about fruit is taken, Jesus has more words that are not easy to hear or simple to interpret. Jesus says, "Not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." We have filled the room this morning at the very, very beginning of our liturgy with our voices saying, "Lord, Lord, Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us." St. Paul says that no one calls Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Of course, he doesn't mean no one can voice the word, because anyone can just say the words. So it's not just the saying of the word and the genuflection of the body, but the inner joy at the news of the kingdom and the genuflection of the soul at the news of the arrival of the King. If the words are true and the genuflection is genuine, Jesus says, you'll know, because there will be actions that will follow. There'll be fruit. "Not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father who is in heaven. Trees bear fruit after their kind, figs of fig trees, grapes of the grapevine, thorns of the thorn bush, thistles of the thistle bush." Jesus moves immediately from this subject to the kingdom of heaven, showing that the kingdom produces fruit after its kind as well. The kingdom of heaven produces those who do the will of the King, who rejoice in the King. Do you want to know if you belong in the kingdom of God? Well, you can leave your past in the past. There's nothing you can do to change your past anyway, whether you rejoice or repent of the fruit of your life past. Simply ask yourself if you're interested at all today in doing the will of the Lord. If you're in the kingdom, you should be interested in obeying the King. Jesus asks, "What business does anyone have in the kingdom where they don't want to obey the King?" At one point he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" The kingdom bears fruit after its kind, not rebellion and sin, but obedience and righteousness, and at the very least, repentance. St. Paul writes to the Romans to come at the same question from another perspective and different words. We've heard it today. He speaks about the difference between living after the flesh or being led by the Spirit. And again, the question comes, what kind am I? Do I live after the flesh or after the Spirit? St. Paul is talking about how a person is led in this life. What is the direction you choose in your conversation, in your relationships, even your finances? The gospel of Jesus Christ is like a fruitful tree, a festoon of flowers and fruits even. If the good news of the gospel that Jesus preached is that the kingdom of God has broken into this world and that he, the king, has come, then the gospel, the good news, has also flowered out into the death and resurrection and ascension of the Lord for our redemption. The gospel then bursts forth on the earth through the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the followers of Christ, making us heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. The gospel is one great, luscious, fruitful season, heavy with the weight of glory. And the church should bear fruit too. And those who cry out to God, Abba, Father, who do his will, who recognize his kingdom and genuflect as they enter his presence, and look to do his will in all their circumstances, repenting when they see that they have fallen far short. These are the fruit of the kingdom in themselves, and in turn they will have fruit that fits the kind of spiritual beings that they are. If you are in this kingdom, if you're following the Lord, if you're listening to his call, then the fruit of the Spirit in you will be more and more, as St. Paul says, in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, the fruit of the Spirit. If we are in the kingdom and we wish to bear fruit after that kind, then let us follow after the King. If we're in the kingdom and we're led by the Spirit rather than the flesh, let us cooperate with the great work of God in this world. For it's already begun in you who are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, our Lord. But as you consider and desire this great harvest of fruit, consider the image of the festoon of fruit and flowers, and it'll be obvious to you that there is work to be done. No one comes upon a festoon of fruit and flowers in the forest. And in this image even, it's evident that work has been done. Jesus encourages us to do the same. For those who are in the kingdom, there is work to be done, for the king has asked for a bounty of spiritual fruit. It is for us to cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit to bear that great festoon of fruit and flowers. God knows that a new season of growth is needed in your soul. How shall we bear this fruit of the Spirit? What will be the work set out for us to do in this garden of the soul? Consider that fruit and the work to be done. Hatred must be trimmed back to make room for the flower of love. Bitterness of despair must be cut off to make room for the sweetness of joy. The loose and dry soil of unrest must be replaced with deep and nourishing soil of peace. Love, joy, and peace. A sharp impatience must be cast into the fire, and much more room allowed for the round and plump fruit of long-suffering and patience. The thorn of violence needs to depart as the much more broad and strong leaves of gentleness replace wrath. All the twisted briars of wickedness must be cut off to allow for the simplicity and upright growth of goodness. Anxiety must be poisoned, pulled out by the root, as faith is given space to grow. Boasting must be trimmed down, and replaced with meekness. And finally, gluttony must be starved as you are fed by temperance, with the right things at the right times. Children of God are the spiritual fruit of the kingdom, and now it is time for you to bear spiritual fruit of your own. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. Even so, for every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.